Welcome to The Hitch, week 5.
Hi.
Hi.
It's day 32.
And you know what that means,
it's
right?
It's the halfway point.
I knew it yesterday and then I forgot it, or I suppressed it, pushed it out of my brain. And then it came back. You said it, and I was like, no.
I know. It's a really weird thing how fast it seems. Mm-hmm.
It's gone really fast.
And then also how not fast.
Right, because when I think back to, like, Memphis, it seems like a really long time ago. And yet, it doesn't in so many ways. And it's gone, like, when I think of the time from when we started to here, I mean, it's just crazy. It seems like no time and all the time. Because we have to, when I start to think of the whole picture, it feels very fast. When I start to think, remember individual events and things that we did, places we visited, you know, drives we did, that seems like a long time because there are so many of them.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, it's like, it's a little more than a month, which in regular life, like, a month can pass without
even
realizing it.
Yeah.
And
months and months pass by quickly sometimes.
And so it's one of those things that it's both long. Man, it's loud at the campsite
tonight.
I know.
We've got some new neighbors that are pretty loud.
Well, I think they're in the process of still unpacking.
True. And it's not like we're super quiet.
Getting set up. We are super quiet. It was funny. We were in Santa Fe today and we got ice cream at this local ice cream place where most of the flavors were like green chili ice cream and red chili ice cream and all of
really
that.
Cool.
And they were playing music and it was all Stax.
Right. Stax
songs.
Artists. Yeah.
And I just thought, like, wow, what a full circle.
Right.
There. You know, here we are.
Yeah, it does feel like
in this place. And it was purely
music
from
it.
Another place. And like, when I think back to when we went to the Stax Museum, that feels like
that
a really
feel like
long,
a long time
ago.
Well, it's interesting because I was thinking about how even Carlsbad seems kind of long ago,
and it
was not that long ago. It was a few days ago.
Yeah.
And just because things are so different and like a place like Memphis is such a different place.
Yeah.
And it's like geographically completely different and just it's... So it feels like more time has passed. I was thinking that it had been a long time since we've been in Carlsbad, and I was like, oh, not at all.
Less than a week.
It's just very different.
Yeah, but man.
We packed it in today.
We did.
We had an
action-packed
day. Well, you got up super crazy early.
I woke up at like 5:30 in the morning. It gets light here really early right now.
And it's waking up our little son, which is... Really
I was
sad,
awake before him.
But you are an early riser anyway.
He woke up at like 5:45 and that was basically it for him. And so I actually decided to just start doing my job. And it was great because I'd spent, you know, 4 hours or so working. And by the time he was ready to roll, I was kind of like, I'm at a pause point here.
Yeah.
Like, I can't really do anything more. So I got to come along,
which was
awesome.
Fun. Yeah.
And we went to 2 museums.
Yeah. So we decided to bang out a couple museums because there's like a million museums
here. There's so many museums.
And obviously we're not going to see all of them. I mean, there's just a time limit and a money limit.
Fiduciary limit.
Yeah. And so we're having to pick and choose, which is really hard because they all look amazing.
Yeah. They really do.
We definitely wanted to go to the Georgia O'Keeffe one.
Yeah.
For sure. And then we went to the New Mexico History Museum, which is very close by. So we definitely wanted to do those two.
Yeah.
And there's still a whole bunch of other ones we want to do.
Yeah.
But those two we definitely wanted to do. And they were right, like, just off the plaza.
Yeah.
So we were able to park and just walk around to both of them.
Yeah.
And they were both amazing.
They really were. The Georgia O'Keeffe one, I don't know if I've ever been in a museum that crowded.
It was so crowded.
There were so many people.
And they
turns
had
out
a
part
ton
of it
of
was
art.
It was a strangely laid out museum and
it
that
was.
It dead ended and so you had to turn around. So I think that was part of why it was so crowded was there were people coming and going.
Because you had to double back.
Yeah.
It was really strange. It was like kind of like a big horseshoe, and then you had to turn around and go back. And that wasn't the best design for crowd control. No. It did mean you kind of got to see everything another time.
Yeah, you saw it twice.
Yeah, which was nice. And it was really crowded, which was cool to see. And it was great.
It was really
amazing.
Great.
It was really, I mean, I've seen some of her work in person before, but certainly not an entire museum dedicated to it.
I think the other thing that was really interesting, because, you know, she has some iconic pieces that are held in collections of much larger museums.
Right.
You know, that's the Art Institute of Chicago has a 24-foot long cloud painting.
Right, and we see that one every time we go.
Yeah. What was cool about this one, because it was, you know, a museum dedicated exclusively to her stuff, and she did so much for work in New Mexico.
And so much work for so long.
Yeah. And
she was a real, like, working artist for
so long.
For decades and decades.
But what was cool about it was that they were able to kind of step through her entire career in chronological order, which was really, really cool. Because, like, beyond, you know, some of the real iconic flower ones, or,
or the
you know, a couple of skull ones, or the cloud ones. Like, you don't really see. She had this whole series of buildings in New York, you know, and it was like, wow, I never see that. It was a great,
it wasn't
an enormous museum.
It was smaller than I thought it would be, honestly. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it's because so much of her work is outside, you know, in so many museums that's kind of spread out. But I mean, there were quite a few pieces in it, but it was a smaller space than I would have thought. They had really nice natural lighting that they had kind of diffused. And
so it was a really beautiful
museum
space.
Was very well lit, which was nice
really looking
at the art. It was really, it was okay that it was small, because honestly, we were trying to do too much with two kids, you know, especially a four-year-old. So we did end up, I mean, if it was a large museum, it would have been hard for us to do all of the things we did today.
Yeah.
So it was okay. And it was really, it was great.
I really liked it. It was a nice museum. And then we grabbed some lunch on the plaza. We had made sandwiches.
We had made sandwiches.
But then
we make our lunches a lot just to save money and to not have to worry about where we're going to eat when we have hungry kids. And then we decided to have some Frito pie.
Yeah.
Which made me so happy, because as a kid in Texas, I had Frito pie many times, and I have a great love for Frito pie.
Maybe
now,
you should explain what Frito pie is.
I'm going to back up here, because not everyone knows what Frito pie is or has had the pleasure of having Frito pie, although you really should.
You really should, and you can
make it at home. You can. Okay, so what it is basically, I mean, the best and kind of most classic way is to get a, you know, single serving size Frito chips bag. Get a bag. It has to be the kind that's like metal on the inside, not whatever, aluminum
like
or whatever.
Mylar. Something,
So you open it up and you dump a bunch of chili and cheese, onions if you like. Basically whatever you would put in a chili.
Yeah.
Dump it in there, beans, whatever you want, into the bag.
Yeah.
And then you just get a fork and you just eat it.
Kind of let the Fritos soften up a bit.
You mix it up a little. And so the chili and all the hot stuff, like, softens the Fritos. Yeah. And their saltiness is such a nice complement with the chili and just everything. It's a perfect meal.
It is.
And it's so good.
You have talked wistfully about Frito pie for our entire relationship.
It's so good.
I remember we had a housewarming party a million years ago.
Yeah, when we first bought our condo in Chicago.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was.
So it was like 2003,
maybe? Yeah, we made Frito pie. I had to kind of drive around all over the world trying to buy enough of the small bags of Fritos. But we noticed walking around the plaza a couple days ago that there were all these Frito pie signs.
Yeah.
And
I was like, what?
And then this
one
place, which looked mostly like sort of a cheesy tourist trap, had like a sign that was like the original Frito pie here.
Right.
And so when we were sitting,
And I was like, huh, because I feel like different places claim it. Like I think Texas claims it too.
And so when we were sitting on the plaza, I looked up the history, and it turns out there is, like many kind of folk foods, there are multiple claims to the original, but one of them is in Santa Fe at what was a Woolworths, which is still still a lunch counter.
They call it the Five and Dime.
They call it the Five and Dime, and it's mostly tourist stuff, but a little bit of a pharmacy.
It's also a
and there's
pharmacy,
a lunch,
yeah.
And then and, there's a lunch counter in the
and
back.
And like t-shirts and just souvenir stuff
and,
you can buy.
And so, yeah, you and the 14-year-old
went in and bought a bag. We bought a bag. And the best thing is this one woman was making them, and it was like her full-time job to make Frito pie because everyone in there was getting Frito pie because it's that good, people. It's that good. And I just felt so excited. I was like, I'm with my people, you know. And she had, like, you know, plastic... if any of you have ever been a dishwasher or worked in a restaurant, you know how you get those plastic trays that have little slots for glasses that you put in the Hobart to wash them, right? And you slide them through. She had like three of those, but instead of glasses, they had Frito bags that were on their side and already slit open and like ready to go. And so she had a big vat of chili.
Oh my goodness.
And in New Mexico, it was mostly pinto beans.
Bean chili,
And so sometimes, like I remember in Texas, it was more of a ground beef type thing. But anyway, so she would just scoop it in and then put the cheese and everything on. And it was so good, but it was like a production line.
Yeah.
Anyway, I was in heaven, and it was so good. Yeah. I loved it. Here's the thing. I always just opened the bag on the top, which doesn't make a whole lot of sense now. After I saw her open it on the side, I was like, that's
much
the way to
stable.
Do it. Yeah.
And then after that, we went to the New Mexico History Museum, which was great because we've been kind of like, you know, we've been in New Mexico for a while. And one thing that really strikes you is how much older it feels.
Right. Like the other day, I was like, 600. Turns out it was 400. It's 400 years.
Yeah.
Old Santa Fe, a little over 400 years.
Yeah, and it was a great museum.
It was really
Again, not
great.
A huge
not
museum.
Not huge, which
but
it was pretty big, though.
Yeah,
there were
it did.
Many
it's fraught,
floors
that's true.
And many. And there was a lot. It was very text-heavy, which I really wanted to stop and read every single thing, but that wasn't possible with kids. And so we moved through pretty quickly. I had to kind of pick and choose, and that was hard. But they had a lot of really cool primary documents you know, archival items and artifacts.
And
that
archival
were...
items going back 400 years.
Yeah.
And even like, even earlier than that. I mean, they also had
and,
the first room was basically like there have been people living in New Mexico for thousands of years.
Right.
And it was native.
I thought they
know,
did a good job of talking about the different cultures here and the different histories here, you know, with native people obviously being here all along.
Yeah.
And then the Spanish coming in, and then the Anglo people coming in as well, and the blend of all of that, and the violence, and the you know, injustices.
It was, I thought it was a really good
museum. I thought they did a good job.
That they did not attempt to make it easy.
Yeah,
you know?
Because it's not.
No, it's like 400 years of...
Of brutal
people
brutality.
Murdering Native people, you know, and...
Yeah, it's
and,
not a, it's not a good history, the history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's... Yeah, there's a lot of bloodshed, and but they also didn't make it too overly graphic or anything because that's one
nice
thought I had. I was like, this is
going
to be a rough history to look at. Is it going to be too bloody? And it really wasn't. I mean, they talked about it. They talked about the violence, but they didn't show it. And I mean, they showed some of the weapons and things like that, but they didn't. They didn't. They did a nice job. I thought they did a really good job. Yeah. Oh, somebody's
is that guy
guitar.
Playing Every Rose Has Its Thorn?
Oh my gosh, I hope so.
No, it's not.
No.
I recognize
Sorry,
it.
Sorry, we had
but
to stop and listen.
It.
I recognize it, too.
There's a neighbor playing,
That's awesome.
Playing guitar.
I love it. Yeah, but the museum was great, and I think the kids enjoyed it as well.
Yeah,
And it went up all through the atomic age, and they had a whole separate exhibit that we actually didn't go see about the nuclear bomb.
Yeah,
and we were like, maybe not that one. With
in
the,
Los Alamos. With,
But it was definitely well worth it.
Yeah, it was really.
And New Mexico has a cool thing where I always look for, you know, free days and things so we can afford to do all of the stuff that we do because we have to be able to, you know, afford it and museums can be very expensive. And interestingly, New Mexico does a thing, it seems to do a thing where there aren't a lot of free days.
Right.
Sometimes they'll have a free couple of hours here and there, and that's great. But they have a lot of museums. Kids are free, which
yeah,
helps
kids all the way up to 17.
So much. Yeah. Some of the museums even go up to 18. Kids are free. And it's great because if you're not paying for the kids and you're only paying for one or two adults, then it becomes more affordable.
Yeah, much more.
Because, man, when you have to pay for everybody, there's no way we could go to as many museums as we do.
And there are so many here.
There are so many. Yeah.
And then after that, I had made an appointment to visit a co-working space.
This seems like a long time ago. This was a long day.
Yeah. Because I need something that has slightly better Wi-Fi for recording my other podcast and also
for doing my work.
Specifically like video calling and stuff like that. The intermittent Wi-Fi here actually works fine for the writing side of the work that I need to do, but for any kind of conversation, I can't do it. So I went to this co-working space, which this guy, it is a building that was a former Catholic school attached or next door to this kind of very old church. It's a very old adobe building that he is leasing from the church. He got a 25-year lease.
That's a long lease.
he was probably, I would guess, in his mid-60s, and he was I hope that I live long enough to see the end of the lease. I was like, wow, that's grim. But yeah, there was a coffee shop in there and the yoga studio, and then he was building out this co-working space, which was really beautiful. The interior of the building was great, and they have couple of good phone booth rooms and plenty fast Wi-Fi, and so
we've had to do this before when we've traveled, where we need to find co-working spaces because whatever living situation is just not working for your work,
and
it is something that you can find pretty easily these days, which
is
nice.
this place especially has day passes, you know.
Yeah, sometimes you have to pay,
sometimes you got to pay a little more
weekly or monthly or whatever.
But yeah, so that was
a nice relief. When you came back from there, we went to this little kid bookstore, which was really cute. I can't remember what it's called now. Beehive, I think.
Yeah.
It was really cute in this little house. It was very sweet. And we were just kind of looking at books and doing puzzles and stuff while you were meeting with that guy. And then you came back. And the funny thing is now, one of the things we needed to do was get more coffee beans today.
Yeah.
And we've been doing your MacGyvered coffee filters. Well, you came back from this co-working space with coffee, local
beans
coffee
and
coffee filters.
So that was very exciting.
Yeah. So that was funny.
Yeah. It was a little
a little oasis.
When I was buying the filters, I said to the woman checking me out, I was like, I'm on the road and I ran out of these filters last week and I've just been making my own, and she did not care. She was like, oh okay
She's like, why are you talking to me?
Just need to ring you up.
We've had some moody baristas.
She was nice enough, but she was not there for my story. It's cool. There are enough beardy guys telling me about how they live on the road here in Santa Fe.
I get that.
But yeah, it was fun today.
Yeah, it was really fun.
And
we came back and there was a crazy
rainstorm.
Yeah. It didn't last that long, but so much rain came down and the water drops were comically big.
Yeah, they were the size of golf balls.
We actually went to a comic shop as well, which was really great. And as we walked out, raindrops were hitting, but not that many of them, but they were huge.
They were. It was very
funny. I was like, what is happening? And then all of a sudden, just a complete
then
downpour.
It started really raining hard.
But then it stopped and it's a beautiful night.
It cooled.
The nights out here. Oh.
Well, and the rain just cooled down because the heat of the day here is really hot, like 4 or 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. And it was just so nice and cool after the rain. And it's a beautiful night.
It's a beautiful night.
And halfway.
Oh, I don't want it to be less than half, which is going to be tomorrow.
Yeah.
But we just need to focus on
where we are, what we're doing.
Which we're in a great place.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Season 2 of The Hitch was recorded in the back of Evangeline, our 27-foot Airstream trailer, by Dan Sinker and Janice Dillard, while living on the road for 64 days in the summer of 2019. You can see pictures from the road on Instagram at tincanevangeline, and you can email us at evangeline@thehitchpodcast.com. If you like The Hitch, please tell your friends about it, and also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll see you on the road.